Tevin Coleman is a jabron.
And I'm playing the shit out of him.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. 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 So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh. I am here with my good friend back in New Jersey. I'm here with Vinny Gonzalez as he takes a quick sip. Oh, no, he pulled it back down because he thought I was going to let him talk. Go for it. Take that sip of beer. As he takes a quick sip of his Samuel Adams. Vinny, what's going on tonight?
Oh, thank you, sir. I needed that sip. doing great, man. Titans-Jags is living up to the hype. And I hope everyone is enjoying this beautiful kickoff game before the sweet week 14 action, whether it be your last regular season game or your first game of the playoffs. So props to you for making it, or props to you for trying to get in.
Yeah. And if you didn't make it at all, there's always DFS and gambling. So you can do other things too. But yeah, hopefully you guys are cruising on into the playoffs this week. We are obviously here to talk about week 14 and preview all those games. So this podcast, we're going to have the first half of those. First though, we do want to let you know that we're still here courtesy of Auction Draft. So while your chance to start an Auction Draft League for 2018 has now gone, I know I can't believe it was up until last week. You literally had a chance to. Crazy. So if you missed out on that, it's your own fault. But we want to remind you that they are still our go-to choice for 2019 auction leagues. So we hope you're listening to this while you get ready for your fantasy playoffs. And if that's the case, here's to you, you fantasy studs. Cheers. I'm going to take a drink as well.
Same.
See, we actually do drink when we say cheers. I took a very small sip because I have a very strong glass of whiskey tonight. Yeah, we're going to get right the hell into this, Vin, because it'll be an interesting week here. There's a lot of like I feel like nonstop this week I've been getting notifications about practice reports, you know? Like, just like this guy's practice or limited in practice, but he's not in danger of missing, or like this guy is. It's just like, it's really stressful and confusing, and I don't like it. But we'll get into all those individually as they come around. We're going to start here with your Cincinnati Bengals at the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are 14-point favorite. The over-under is 47.5. So we're not really looking at a ton of performance here for Jeff Driscoll and the Cincinnati Bengals. That being said, Vin, is there anyone on the Bengals that you are actively trying to play?
I think it's just two people, really, and that's Joe Mixon for sure, and then Tyler Boyd if you like need to, because he's basically Tyler Boyd's taking all of the target share from Jeff Driscoll, which, you know, isn't the best thing to even say out loud, but it's certainly something. And he's just the primary target with, you know, AJ Green on the shelf. And he's really just out there with Ross and then just like the random guys like Cody Core and Malone that they bring out. And it's just terrible. So he is definitely locked in for at least like a 25% target share. So take that as you will. Chargers defense is still pretty decent. And then Joe Mixon, like this game's probably going to get out of hand, and the Bengals tend to just like take Joe Mixon out and like in blowout situations for no reason. And it just, I guess, all depends on how the flow of the game goes. He should do enough damage, I think, in the first half. He's still like their main focal point of their offense at this point. So I think Mixon is the better play. Tyler Boyd, if you must.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think so. I think you probably do have to play Mixon if you own him, just because you probably have been playing him. But if you have a situation where maybe like you're choosing between Mixon and like Austin Eckler, who you haven't been playing all year, but who is now in a spot to like do something, and I guess we'll talk about in this game. Like I would play Austin Eckler there. Like of the running backs in this game, I don't know about Justin Jackson. I you know, we'll see how they kind of play out here, but like Mixon might be the third. My third highest ranked running back in this game. Am I crazy to say that?
No, definitely not. I think that's completely warranted.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I'm right there with you on Boyd too. You know, you don't have to play him, but he's going to get targets in a game where they're probably going to have to pass the ball a lot. The Chargers Best corners are on the outside of the field most of the time. So Tyler Boyd in the slot kind of makes sense there. With that being said, let's go right over to the Chargers side of the ball. And we'll start with Philip. Philip expecting his ninth child. I really want the big reveal at the end of that to be that, like, and I don't want this, but because it would be terrible for Philip, but like to be that just like the, none of them are his kids. Like his wife goes on Maury and like he's not the father for any of them or something. That would be the most insane thing in the history of the world. But anyway, talk to me about Philip and his pass catchers.
I mean, I love Philip and I hope that doesn't happen to him either, but it would be funny if it was like one was Antonio Gates and one was like Keenan Allen's and then like Vincent Jackson snuck one in one year. But that's another tale, I suppose.
Yeah, you just have like the random journeyman Chargers who just like happened to get in there one year.
Oh man, that's why Gates tried to retire. He was done trying to, you know, get in there to pump out like number. That's probably why his 10th one out.
Is it a coincidence that Phillip's wife got pregnant with the ninth child when Joey Bosa was on the sidelines? I don't know. You tell me.
He was on the show for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Crappy bastard. But yeah, Phillip is like a must fucking play. He's so goddamn good. Tore up the Steelers. Probably their most impressive win of the season since they've been beating up bad teams. So that was a statement win for them last Sunday night. Must play. Keenan Allen must play. I think you can fuck around with one of the Williams. I don't know which one, but if you are in the boom or bust category right now and you're feeling lucky, those guys have been productive. It's just you don't know which one's going to catch a touchdown, and one of them will in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you would think – so here's my issue with trying to throw a dart at one of those guys is, one, you're throwing a dart, and I think you have to include Travis Benjamin in that dart throw as well, as he's been on the field more the past couple of weeks. But so my issue is that I don't think they're going to need to like put a lot of volume out there. Like if this was a game with an over under in the 50s, like, yeah, sure, throw a dart at one of those. But this is a game where they're a 14-point favorite with an over under in the 40s. To me, Phillip's going to throw a couple of touchdowns early on. They'll get ahead. And then the rest of the game is going to be Eckler and Jackson just kind of like playing it out. So, to me, it's Phillip, it's Keenan. It's definitely Eckler, and it's probably Jackson, too, because the Bengals are garbage against running backs, and we saw Jackson. Honestly, he looked better than Eckler in that game this past week.
Yeah, he did. I think that had a lot to do with game flow and what the Steelers were trying to do. Like, Austin Eckler, they just really didn't believe he can run through the tackles, and lo and behold, you know, he just kept getting fucking stuffed. So Justin Jackson did a much better job doing that, and then Austin Eckler went back to his complimentary role, which really did well for them in, like, the later half. So with Melvin Gordon most likely out, you're just going to see a lot of both of these dudes. And I was actually talking to Ed, who has handcuffed Melvin Gordon with Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler. And if Melvin Gordon's out, like, it's not insane to have both of those guys and play both of them on your team if you're that fucked at running back. Like,
these dudes
are both going to put up a shitload of points. Bengals have seeded well over 20 points, 30 points to running back tandems the last couple weeks and really the whole season. So don't think it's crazy that like to not, or don't be scared of playing both these guys. Cause I feel like the production is definitely there and the upside is there for both of them too.
Yeah. 100%. Just for some perspective on that, the Bengals are allowing almost 31 touches per game to the running back position and almost 180 yards from scrimmage. So like, cool. You know, even if like those, they split that evenly, you're going to take 15 touches because each of them will get a couple of catches and, you know, 90 yards from either of these guys. And I think you're right there. And I think Ed's dead on where if you want to just capture that floor, capture all of this rushing production against a terrible run defense. I think that's an extremely viable strategy this week.
Yeah. 100% agree. You know, it looks crazy to do, but it's very viable.
Yeah, I mean, and like we've seen that kind of thing work before. Like last year, like if you had Ingram and Kamara, not to say this is Ingram and Kamara, but like there are situations where you can just plug in everyone. You don't have to deal with, oh man, my guy got vultured like at the 1 yard line or whatever. It's like, no, you get all of it. It's fine. So it caps your upside, but it also really raises your floor. Is there anyone else on the Chargers that we need to talk about? Did we talk about Keenan? I mean, you're playing Keenan.
Oh yeah, dude. He's caught fire since, you know, his regular late season renaissance is very fucking real. So just keep riding Keenan. He's probably going to send a lot of people to the championships and probably win that.
Yeah. I mean, this is an easy matchup for him too. I don't know if you saw last week, the Steelers were like refusing to adjust to where he was lined up basically. And he ended up on linebackers like an insane amount of times. It's like, you're going to be like, you're sitting pre-snap with a linebacker on Keenan Allen and you're not calling a timeout like right away. That's like fucking insane to me that they didn't do that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there for this matchup. It's a great matchup. Do you have anyone else in this game?
Oh, Chargers defense for sure.
Yeah, totally. All right, cool. I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's move to Jets at Bills. I feel sorry for you if you have to watch this game this week. It's not going to be good. The Bills are a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under here is 38.5. We'll start on the Jets side where I don't really think there's anything.
I got nothing. I really don't. Like, you can't trust anybody at all. And then you got Darnold coming back. Don't know what the fuck that is going to, you know, lead to. So just stay away from all Jets. And God knows if you're in the playoffs, you probably don't have too many Jets on your team.
Yeah, very, very, very true. On the Bills side of the ball, I'm like on Josh Allen, I think, because of the rushing production that he's had the past 2 weeks. And I haven't dove deep enough into whether or not that rushing production is sustainable, but like, God damn, he's had at least 90 rushing yards in both of the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's not sustainable at all, but if this is like the style he's going to play, and like we saw Matt Barkley just torch the Jets, like, well, in an away game. So I think Josh Allen's going to just like shred the Jets again. I mean, it's in Buffalo. I don't know about the weather, but it's probably going to be fucking freezing. So Josh Allen, you know, running the ball doesn't seem outside of the realm of possibility. So he probably will rack up a decent amount of yards. And then another guy I like in the matchup is fucking Zay Jones, which after they cut, you know, Calvin Benjamin and shit, like Zay Jones has really picked it up as well and seems to be, when Josh Allen does throw, it's mainly going to Zay Jones. I think he has like almost 30% of their target share.
Yeah, it's weird because I think in like their past three games, he's had like 9 and then 0 and then 11 targets. So like it's certainly not like there's no floor here. But I don't think it's a bad play. It seems like they are really trying to see what their young wide receivers can do. Not only did they cut Kelvin Benjamin, but they cut Andre Holmes this week. So they're trying to see who has chemistry with Josh Allen, who Josh Allen starts to trust. At this point, it seems like that's Zay Jones. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. We know the Jets' secondary is complete garbage. What do you think about LeSean McCoy here?
I'm hesitant to love the play, but I'm not mad if you do play him.
Yeah, I'm about right there with it. It's not great. It's not the worst. You don't need to play it by any means. Who you got in this game?
I'm going to go with the Bills.
Yeah, me too. I think that makes the most sense for me. Let's move to Carolina at Cleveland. This should be a close one. Carolina, 1.5-point favorite on the road. Over-under here is 47. In these close kind of middling over-under games, I feel like unless there's a very specific matchup that one team is like able to exploit, it makes predicting the fantasy production very, very easy. You know, like, I don't think anyone's going to deviate too far from their fantasy means here. So with that being said, who on Carolina are you plugging in this week?
McCaffrey, no brainer. Really, there's not much that needs to be said about that. I'm not too sure about the pass catching options for Carolina. Obviously, we'll get to Cam in a sec, but he's, you know, dinged up. We don't know his status exactly with the shoulder injury. Hasn't thrown at practice all week, so they said he's going to play. I think North Turner said that. So I'm guessing we'll see Cam out there. So at least you still get that, you know, great upside with Christian McCaffrey catching millions of balls. As far as like DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel, I think I'm probably going to stay away this game, Browns defense seems like one I don't want to fuck with too much, especially with a hurt Cam in an away game. So I feel like they're normally potentially high ceilings are kind of lower this week. So I'm going to stay away from those two. And then Ian Thomas, if you're really fucked a tight end and you had Greg Olsen, it's too late to find anyone better. I don't despise it, but it's tight end again, so I really kind of can't care too much that you want to play him. It's really whatever.
There has to be someone better than Ian Thomas. I know tight end is a fucking wasteland, but there has to be, right?
You say that, but is it true? I can't tell you.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, McCaffrey is one of the easiest locks of any lineup in the world. And then it does get kind of questionable. I think I'm a little bit higher on DJ Moore than you are. Three straight games with eight or more targets. That's pretty solid. I know that the Browns haven't given up a ton to wide receivers, but I'm not going to fade that kind of volume at this point. Other than that, I don't really see a reason. I mean, I guess Curtis Samuel, because he's getting on the field more and because we know that he can break a big play at any time. So I guess that's fine. You know, Funches, I know, came back and caught a touchdown, but I don't give a fuck about Devin Funches. I don't think he's good.
I didn't even say his name.
Yeah, no, I know. and I brought him up because I was like, we need to bring him up just to mention that we don't want to fucking play him. but yeah, that's the only reason there. So yeah, I'm right there with you. I think we'll see how the news sort of breaks on Cam. But yeah, it's not necessary to go too nuts in this game.
Yeah, agreed.
Brown's side of the ball. I mean, it's weird. Their production has been centralized, at least consistently centralized, around two players, and it's the two rookies. It's Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb. I don't see any reason, if you've been riding both of them, I don't see any reason to really get away from them this week.
Yeah, not at all. Baker's going to absolutely kill it. Even last week against the Texans, he played fucking terrible. Still winds up with almost 400 yards, and he still, eked out a decent fantasy day for you. He didn't fuck you in any way other than not doing well. So he didn't burn your lineup, but certainly didn't play well. But that just shows that his floor is intact as fuck. So I think his ceiling is definitely going to be reached in this game. With the Panthers have been just giving up top 10 weeks like it's fucking candy the last couple of weeks. So I love Baker this week. And then just Nick Chubb, just keep rolling. They give him the ball so much and his touchdown equity is massive. So the dude gets goal line. He gets passing work randomly. He's great.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where it's just not only does he get the volume and the goal line volume and now some of the passing volume, but also he's good. He's just good. So he checks every box you want. I find it hard to reconcile putting any of the pass catchers in my lineup. I think the one that I would look to maybe the most is David Njoku, but that's only because tight end sucks balls. I'm going to play David Njoku over Ian Thomas, who we said you might have to play this week.
I mean, that's a no-brainer, but what if it was Jeff Herndon and Ian Thomas?
Chris Herndon?
Oh, dude, why do I do that? Yes, Chris Herndon. I haven't said his name right once this year.
You're saying it was Jeff Harmon's hurt. Chris Herndon is on the Jets. I'd probably play Njoku there. I think the upside is higher. And Carolina is not a stellar matchup. I'm not really upgrading him a bunch. And the issue with Baker has been that the target distribution has been all over the place. So 1 week Njoku leads, 1 week Callaway leads, 1 week Jarvis leads. I'm on Njoku. I find it hard to rationalize Jarvis.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people might've benched him last week and we kind of called how we didn't like playing him, but he would go off at one point, and it was a sort of going off party last week against the Texans, but that was in a blowout where they had to catch up. Baker was slinging all over the place. So Landry only produced in a game where Baker had to throw 40 plus times and they were down by 20 the entire game. So
right.
It's fucking scary to play him. I feel like don't let last week sway you, even though it's, a good matchup against the Panthers. You don't have to play Landry, really.
Yeah, I mean, Last week was Landry's first game getting over 50 yards receiving since week 7 at Tampa. That's not great. And I know in those previous games, they've been ones where Baker hasn't had to throw the ball all over the field. I don't know that he's going to have to in this one. So I think the question when you're thinking about Landry, the question to ask yourself is it a game where you can see Baker throwing the ball over 40 times, or is it somewhere closer to 25 to 35 times? For me, this is a 25 to 35 time game. And because of that, I don't want to play Landry.
Yeah, well said.
All right, who you got in this one?
I'm going to keep the Panthers slide. I'm going to go with the Browns here.
I was going to take that if you took the Panthers, but I'll take the Panthers just to split it, I guess.
All right,
let's move on to Atlanta at Green Bay. Packers are a 5.5-point favorite with an over-under of 49.5. Does that total seem like insanely fucking low to you, or is it just me?
No, I was going to say, man, I think this game is going to be like fucking wild, and I don't think anybody really cares. I mean, their records are certainly a reason not to get excited, but like, dude.
The over-under should be like 57.
Yeah, I would say like, you know, if you're going like vague, like if I was making line, I'd probably make it like 59.5. Dude, they're going over 30, both teams, like for sure. I don't see how they couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, both of these defenses are fucking garbage. You know, we'll see how the Mike McCarthy firing affects Green Bay. But I guess let's start here with Atlanta. Matt Ryan and his pass catchers. I mean, Matt Ryan is a guy who you've pretty much been playing all year. I did the Sunday morning sub out Ryan for Jameis this past week, and it worked out pretty well. But I don't think he's a guy that you would really want to bench in this situation this week, right?
No, certainly not. I'm assuming you're going to play him.
I like Jameis's matchup too, though, is the issue.
But like, I don't know. I guess that's a good question. Like, what are you going to do this week?
I haven't decided yet.
I feel like it's not even that safe actually, because it's, you know, Matt Ryan scared of the outside, but do you want to deal with Matt Ryan not being able to play on the road outside, or do you want to deal with Jameis possibly getting yanked at halftime? That seems to be the problem, because I feel like both their ceilings are in the same place.
Yeah, I think what I need to do is look at the weather forecast for Green Bay and figure that out. And that might influence my decision if it's a little extreme. But unless it's like snow and 15 mile per hour winds, I think Matt Ryan is the safer call here. So yeah, I will probably end up on Matt Ryan this week, is what I would guess. We'll talk about Jameis later on in this podcast. But yeah, I think I'll probably end up with Matt Ryan.
Hell yeah. I mean, if what I'm thinking in this game, I don't know if this is bold or not, but I feel like Rodgers and Ryan are both going to be top five this week.
Yeah, I don't think that's ridiculous to say at all.
I just haven't seen like anybody freaking out about this game like at all. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand why the over is like. If there are people like not stacking the fuck out of this game, like on DraftKings, like this is. Because people generally try and stack like the higher totaled games, you know, that sort of thing. Like, I'm going to be game stacking the shit out of this on DraftKings, I think, because it hopefully will be under-owned as to where it should be. I just don't get what we're missing. Are we stupid, or is there like something that we're not getting here?
I mean, when you look at how they've played recently, and I guess as a whole on the season, they've both been sloppy and haven't played up to par, but like, now they're converging in this matchup.
It hasn't even led to like bad fantasy performances though. For like, right. Matt Ryan is the number two fantasy quarterback on the year. Like,
and Rodgers is top 10, like his worst in years, but like, dude, the Packers have been bad and he's still top 10.
Yeah. And like Mike McCarthy's gone, you know, like hopefully this is some sort of
Rodgers is going to call every single play.
I don't want to overstate that, but like we saw when Hugh got fired, like what happened to the Browns offense? Like Baker became a stud immediately. And I think you can attribute a lot of Rodgers' struggles to Mike McCarthy being a fucking uncreative play caller. you know, we'll see over the next couple of weeks whether that's true, whether Joe Philbin changes anything or whether he just tries to play it conservative. But yeah, to me, this is just a matchup we need to go after. So let's continue on with Atlanta. You know, obviously Julio is the, you know, a guy to play. I know he was disappointing this past week, but it was against the Ravens. This is against the Packers. You got to play Julio for sure. What about guys like Austin Hooper, Calvin Ridley, and Mo Sanu?
So like the matchup for Hooper sort of sucks against the Packers. Like they've been very good against tight end, but like who the fuck are you sitting for Austin Hooper? There is no one I could think of at all. Like unless it's, I don't even know. See? So it's Austin Hooper for me. I'm not playing anyone over him in this game. Shootout. Love Hooper. He'll get it done.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten a lot of targets this year. And like you said, like who at this point in the season, unless you've been playing matchups between like Hooper and someone else, which is dumb because tight ends are really difficult to predict as it is. You know, I think Hooper's a guy you're playing if you've been playing. With the rest of them, I have difficulty trusting Calvin Ridley. I have difficulty trusting Mo Sanu, even though both of them get a decent amount of targets. Ridley has two injuries on both arms. You just, for both of them, you need touchdowns.
Yeah, and I think that's the game you're playing. And in this game, I feel like I would go with Ridley gets the touchdown nod. So if you're pushed into a situation where you might have to flex him or wide receiver three, that upside is pretty cool. So it's very risky, but I definitely don't hate the play for either, honestly.
Okay, that's fair. All right. What about the run game? Tevin Coleman is a jabron.
And I'm playing the shit out of him. So, like, Tevin Coleman, man, I don't know what they're trying to do. Like, at all with the running back situation there. Like it just proved to me that like Freeman is a really good running back and definitely saves this offense a lot of headaches, as we can see. Cause they're basically the same team just without Freeman. So, Coleman, I'm still going to play him. I feel like the matchup is just okay enough. And since I've been screaming that this is going to be a shootout, I feel like he'll be heavily involved in some passing games, scripts. So, I like Tevin Coleman there. Wouldn't play Ito Smith, even though he probably has touchdown upside. But who's playing Ito Smith in any sort of capacity right now?
Yeah, for real. I'm right there with you. You know, Coleman is a guy you kind of like hold your breath and just throw him in there and close your eyes and see what happens.
I've done that all year, every week.
Yeah, if you don't need to play him, don't. But if you do, then you do. All right, let's move to the Green Bay side of the ball. We talked about Rodgers a little bit. We're both on him this week. Hopefully with Mike McCarthy gone, he just comes out and goes nuts. Which of his other pass catchers are you in on here?
Obviously Adams. He's just been a fucking monster. He's so good. Touchdown almost every game, over 50 yards almost every game. Dude's a beast. But you're playing him anyway, so let's delve into it a little more. I hate MVS. I do not like him. I don't think he's good anymore. I feel like he had some decent games early on, but I don't think he's a very good wide receiver. Despite like a he could possibly take advantage of this matchup. I don't know. I'm done playing like the Packers' fourth option as far as, you know, the wide receivers go there. Jimmy Graham's intriguing. I kind of don't hate the play at all. And I feel like if you've had Jimmy Graham all year, fuck it, man. Go down swinging.
Yeah, I'm fine with Jimmy Graham. He got 11 targets this past week. You know, Atlanta's nothing to be afraid of, particularly in the middle of the field. And tight end sucks ass. So, yeah, go with Jimmy Graham. Definitely with Davante Adams. I think you're right that it's difficult to trust the other guys. I'm sure someone else will produce in some way, shape, or form. But you're right. MBS hasn't really done it in a while, and I'm not willing to bet on it this week. Who are you choosing for this one?
It's going to be close. I'm going to go with the Packers though here. I feel like they'll get just enough of a bump from McCarthy leaving.
Yeah, I'm going to go Packers as well. All right, Vin, let's take a quick break to hear from Auction Draft. We will be back with four more games for part one of the Week 14 preview.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right, guys, that was Auction Draft. We are back, and we're going to jump right into the rest of, the next four, I guess, games for this week. So we're going to start with Colts at Texans. Texans are a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under is 49.5. Just as Shrek and I said that you can't sit Andrew Luck last week, he threw out a fucking dud. What was up with that?
The ball 50 times.
Yeah. And scored 0 points.
Crazy.
I'm back on him. I have to be.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you shouldn't be that reactionary. Like, that game was a total fluke. Especially, you know, and we saw this game earlier in the season and it was a complete shootout, went to overtime. The Colts had really bad play calling and lost that game. So I feel like this one should live up to the hype, maybe a little bit of a lower score. I think that was in the 30s for both teams when we first saw them. But yeah, you're not sitting Andrew Luck. You've made it this far. He's fucking carried you and he's fucking good. It was a trap game against the Jags in an away game. So if you're sitting Andrew Luck, that's just a dumbass move.
Yeah, definitely. It's not the best matchup, but what are you going to do? It is what it is at this point. I feel like his targets are very easy because there's only two of them that are good and not hurt. You've got Ebron, you've got Hilton. There you go.
Yeah, they're both going to go wild.
Yeah, it's going to be tight. I have a lot of Hilton and I'm very pumped on it. What about Mack or the other running backs in Hines or Wilkins? Do you have any interest in them?
No, not at all, actually. I'm pretty down on every single one of them. Mack's been dealing with some injuries, and then they kind of split it up as it is, like in a three-way committee secretly. Obviously, Mack gets more of the work, but still draws away from his upside big time. And the Texans are very good against the run. They haven't given up shit as of late. So I'm going to stay away from that. And people that have been using Mack this year, I feel like you have other options.
Yeah, he came in to his own at a point where he was kind of like a bonus for you, if anything. So you probably do have other options. You probably don't need to go there. Let's you and me go to the Texans side of the ball, where we'll start with we'll start with Deshaun Watson. His upside is just very, very limited to me. And the Colts defense hasn't been awful. I don't know. Like, I don't think you need to play him by any means.
Yeah, I kind of view him the same way I view Russell Wilson. Like, they're playing the same sort of game. The matchups aren't that great this week. So let me ask you, what would you play, Deshaun Watson, or would you play Russell Wilson?
That is a good question.
It's tough because they literally have the same upside, same floor. I think Wilson might have a tougher matchup with the Vikings, but
yeah, I'd probably go Wilson, but it is very, very close.
I just feel like they're both playing so efficiently and we've seen their ceilings and I feel like their floors are safe enough. Like this, like either way, Wilson or Watson probably won't kill your week. It's just, will they make your week?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to play either of them in daily because like, I don't think there's any reason to, you know, it's just kind of like what you're relying on is them being efficient through the air and throwing touchdowns through the air, which they have. So hopefully they continue to do that. But if, for example, this is a game where Lamar Miller rushes for 2 to 3 touchdowns, Deshaun Watson is fucked in that matchup. I mean, I know that's not likely, but you know,
I was going to say, I'm a Miller owner. I know that's not happening.
All right. Let's talk about Lamar Miller. What do you think he's going to do this week?
Honestly, I've been doing a lot of forgiving. I really hated him early on. After I stuck my neck out for him in several drafts.
Did you say you stuck your neck out?
Just sticking some nooks. Yeah, Miller really turned it on like the last couple weeks, consistently shredding like yards per carry. And that's honestly what's been carrying his value, because he doesn't get a lot of carries. He's just, I guess it really depends on game flow for the Texans, because when they're up, they give Miller a lot of carries. But we've screamed about the splits that we've seen with Alfred Blue, which makes no fucking sense. And then all of a sudden, Deontay Foreman gets activated this week. I don't think he's that much of a factor at all. So don't let that bother you wanting to play Miller or wanting to sit Miller for any reason. I still think Miller is someone you want to play, but probably just running back two or flex for you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to play him at this point. He's been so good and so efficient lately. And that's the thing, is it's been efficiency. It hasn't been volume. And particularly, it hasn't been passing game volume that's been getting him his fantasy points. So that's always worrisome. That's why, you know, that's why we're worried about Watson, because it's efficiency. It's not volume that's getting him the points. So we know that if the efficiency isn't there, the floor is low. But he's been efficient for like half the season now, and you got to do it. In terms of the pass catchers, I'm on Hopkins. That's it.
Yeah, there's really no reason to play any other dude. If you have Demaryius Thomas, this was kind of a weird trade for them. But yeah, just hasn't really clicked. Probably won't.
Yeah, no reason to play a guy with 14 targets over four games with the team. Let's move on to – oh, wait, no, we got to pick this one. Who you got?
This is a tough one, but I think the Colts edge this one out.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to go Colts. All right, let's move to Ravens at Chiefs. We've got basically, you know, one of the best, if not the best defenses in the NFL against the best offense, you know, maybe the Rams, but you would say probably the Chiefs, the best offense at this point in the NFL. The Chiefs are a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under here is 53. On the Ravens side of the ball, this is a little bit puzzling just because Joe Flacco is back at practice. The word that I've seen is that Flacco may be active as a backup to Lamar Jackson this week. I don't know.
Yeah. It's very weird. I've seen it phrased in that way, like you just said, and then I saw that like Flacco will be used in packages. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like that they're going to run a normal offense with Flacco, and then like the reverse of what we've seen from early on in the season. I don't know.
That's like super weird.
Yeah. That was just like, fuck you, Harbaugh, you ass. I don't know. They're trying to keep it secret, I'm guessing, but I don't really think it matters. I feel like whoever's active at quarterback is probably worth some sort of nod, because the Chiefs are just fucking abysmal on defense.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we get some sort of clarity into that situation by Sunday morning, because if we do know that Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy, then he's a very good start this week. He's a great start, and then Gus Edwards becomes a very good start as well, as the two of them have really become quite the tandem on the ground. That being said, I think if we have that situation where Jackson is the starter, that's all you can play. You can't play any of their wide receivers, and they play like four different tight ends at all times. So there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, because the matchup is the best it's ever going to be for a pass catcher, and you really cannot play either without freaking the hell out. Like, you risk a flatline zero pretty much in one of those spots. And I don't really know if the upside's necessarily there, because Jackson doesn't really throw it too much.
So, yeah, I mean, as a guy who was playing a lot of John Brown early in the season, this has been quite the downturn for me. That being said, the guy who led the team in targets this past week was Ty Montgomery. Do you have any sort of interest in Montgomery as a guy where you would think the Ravens will be down in this game? You think they might have to throw the ball a lot? You think defense might be a little soft trying to prevent the big play, and Montgomery might be there underneath?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have as much of a problem as you think I would. I kind of view him on the same playing field as like playing Zay Jones. Like, the matchup is great. It makes sense. It could completely fuck you, but the upside is there. And like, all makes sense logically. So I definitely don't hate the play. I don't know how many people are doing that in, you know, normal leagues. Like maybe a 14 team, it's like an easy play. 12, probably risky. 10 team, it's like your brain dead, but you're doing it. So there's certainly a ceiling to be had, and there might even be a floor. So he might be safer than you think.
Yeah. And again, this is all if Jackson is in. You know, we want to reiterate that if Flacco is the starter, this whole fucking analysis changes. Like right. If Flacco is the starter, then the running backs become different. You maybe want to play one or two of the wide receivers. Like everything becomes completely different. But yeah, I don't hate Montgomery. This seems like a tailor-made matchup for the way he should be used. And the Ravens kind of have used him in passing down situations, and Gus Edwards in those running situations. So, it's interesting to me, and I don't hate the play.
Yeah. And then like I said about like his floor might maybe being like safer than you think, like look at what Jalen Richard was able to do last week. Like he gave you a decent game and didn't fuck you. So if you're playing Montgomery, it might not be as risky as you think.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move to the Chiefs side of the ball where this offense has been insane all year. Obviously, we know Spencer Ware is there instead of Kareem Hunt. But let's start with Mahomes and his pass catchers. You know, Mahomes and Kelsey, like, fucking duh, even in this bad matchup. What about Tyreek Hill, who's kind of been not that great lately?
Yeah, I mean, he's been streaky all year, but it's been like good streaky. It's like, oh man, Tyreek Hill got me 14 instead of 35. So right, he's been, right. Like, very up and down, and you're just like a greedy fuck if you think he's having a bad game. But last week, he certainly had a bad game. What do you have, one fucking catch against the Raiders?
Yeah.
Brutal. But Mahomes did miss him on a couple deep balls, so obviously yes, the play is always fucking there. So I really don't have a problem playing him. It's just like, the Ravens have shut down number one straight up, not a 100-yard receiver the entire season. So there is that, but, you know, Hill has one of those plays and then, you know, does some other things and he's over 100. So you're playing Hill. There's no doubt about it. So we're just kind of laying out the expectations that you should have.
Yeah, for sure. I think Tyreek Hill in daily leagues or in tournaments is a very, very interesting option because he is high priced and will be low owned. And we know that, you know, we said the Ravens haven't allowed a 100-yard receiver yet this season. Tyreek Hill is different than everyone else in the league. So it almost does, like, that stat is going to lead you towards not playing him, but it could just not matter at all. Cause he could catch 260-yard passes for touchdowns and you will be just fine. So he's a guy you're definitely not sitting. I think he's an interesting tournament play. It looks like Sammy Watkins isn't going to suit up again. We know Kelvin Benjamin just signed with them. To me, all that does is make me not want to play Conley, Watkins, or Benjamin.
Oh yeah, for sure. I don't even think Benjamin's going to be active. One, two, I don't like him. And three, I don't like any of those other options because I feel like you got to bank on a touchdown. And I don't think like the yardage will necessarily be there to back up your floor. So upside's limited despite, you know, the good offense. And the floor is limited. So I don't like any of that shit.
Yeah. If Conley is against a good defense, I think you kind of like him, you know, with Watkins out. And if we assume Benjamin doesn't play, but this is the Ravens, it's not. Sorry, I meant a good defensive matchup for the wide receivers. Yeah. I realized what I said didn't make fucking sense as I was saying it. Either way, this is not the matchup for Conley. Let's talk about Spencer Ware. Again, tough matchup. We know Spencer Ware is not Kareem Hunt. I still want to play him.
I don't. And I'm one of those people that picked up Spencer Ware after the Hunt news broke and, you know, excited at first because you get to play him against the Raiders. And
you're
then,
one of those assholes on your computer at work. Just like,
dude, I got that thing and I was on there like the scumbag I am. Just like, all right, this is mine now.
It was him and Nick Chubb this year were the two where it was just like the way that you got them was being like the most tuned into your phone at work. that's about it.
That thing buzzes. I'm like, something's happening. Yeah, but that was – you know, it was, I think it was more exciting to look at the matchup before it happened, because you didn't want to look at the outside options that obviously happened, or the outcomes when you're watching the game against the Raiders. Cause like there was a lot more of a three back committee almost with Ware and the Williamses. So we kind of, I don't know, in my head, I definitely overhyped Ware, cause I'm just like, he could fit right into a lead back role. And it's just like, nah, probably not. Andy Reid's got a different plan. So against a very stiff Ravens defense, I'm not going to touch it. I know the pickup is like very good and you're probably very excited to play him, but I'm just going to stay away. It's like the smart thing to do.
All right. I think that's pretty fair. Let's pick this one. I'm going to take the Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Interesting take though.
Yeah, that was more just to be like contrarian than anything else. All right. Patriots at Dolphins. Patriots are a 7.5-point favorite. Over-under is only 47. I've put it on record that the Dolphins are the team that I want to break down the least, because I don't know what the fuck's going to happen with them. Let's talk about the Patriots, though. I mean, is this like a play everyone for you?
Yeah. So like with the Patriots, as the year goes on, it's just you got to kind of deal with the good and the bad and just kind of keep going with it, because if you try to play matchups or predict what they're going to do, you will get fucked. So don't let this be one of those games. Play Sony Michel, James Devlin, fuck you, like whatever, get over it. Sony Michel could easily have 3 touchdowns in this game. You never know, because at the goal line they can just do normal things instead of fullback dives. And then James White, you stick with Edelman, of course. Tom Brady, maybe the biggest question mark for me, next to him and Gronk, surprisingly. Like, I don't necessarily want to play Brady. I don't really think his ceiling has been there all year. And Gronk, I feel the same way. I just feel like they're getting older. It's showing. And they're not must plays despite their name value.
Okay, that's fair. See, I think you're right on there. Like, I'd rather play Jameis than Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to bring up. Like, I'd either play like Watson or Wilson too. Like, I just feel like they're going to have more efficiency. And I feel like just, I don't know. And then there's always the Brady in Miami having some sort of weird problem. So there's a narrative thing to it as well.
That's true. That is a weird thing, I guess. All right. Yeah. I think the guy for me who makes me a little bit worried is Josh Gordon, because he's going to draw Xavien Howard, you would think, for a decent amount of the time, who is a pretty good cornerback. And outside of a couple of games, Josh Gordon hasn't really had the upside that we kind of thought he was going to this year. So I think he's a little bit scary. I guess, you know, I said it was a play everyone, but really the guys that I'm comfortable with are like Edelman, Michel,
and White.
White. I mean, Gronk, you're gonna play because you're not fucking sitting him. But yeah, it is a little bit scary past that.
Yeah, I'm just a little shaky on it all. It's just, I don't know. I've never been a big Patriot owner, like in fantasy either, just because of like, I know it would drive me insane. So I'm kind of sitting on that side of thing, that side of the fence. But yeah, I feel like we got it though. Mainly Edelman, White, Michelle, and then people you have to play.
All right, cool. On the Miami side of the ball, Kenyon Drake should be a good start against the New England defense that has been pretty bad against opposing running backs in the pass game. So that's it. That's all I got. That's the only nugget of information that I have about the Dolphins.
Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. I kind of view Drake on a Tevin Coleman level this week. Like, good matchup, should work out. Fucking plug him in and like close your eyes and wait.
Don't be surprised when he has 2 points for you.
Be really worried, but like, it could be fine. All these guys have to do is get a screen pass and all your day is solved.
Yeah. I mean, and there's going to be some Miami wide receiver that has a good game. Good luck.
Yeah. I'm not playing that. It's probably going to be like, you know, it's probably going to be Parker.
No, it's going to be Leonte Carew, because fuck it.
Yeah, and then Stills will catch one pass on 3 targets for 2 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
Kenny Stills is so unpredictable. He's kind of like, I feel like he's, John Ross is like going to be Kenny Stills, like as his career progresses.
I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Just like the dude that catches an 80-yard bomb 1 week, doesn't catch a pass next week, and then like is the goal line expert like the next. Makes no sense.
Yeah. It is what it is there. I'm going to take the Patriots.
Yeah, me too.
All right, last game of this podcast, and then we'll let you guys go. We'll have part two after that. I guess that'll come out Saturday morning for you guys. We got a fun one to close it out. We got the Saints at the Bucks. The Saints are an 8-point road favorite. The over-under here is 55.5. What we have are two bad pass defenses. And on the Saints side of the ball, maybe outside of like Traquan Smith, who I don't know if you've been playing recently anyway, it's play everyone.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, obviously, Breeze, Kamara, Thomas, Ingram. Would you try to sneak Ben Watson in a certain like tight end desperation move?
God, that's the only
question I can think of.
Didn't even think about it, if I'm being honest.
So I guess that answer is probably no.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not the worst move that you could do, but like, I just have such like an aversion in the pit of my soul to playing like 75-year-old Ben Watson at any point, even though this theoretically is the time to do it. Yeah, I'm going to go. It's a no for me.
Okay. Yeah. It's entirely dependent on your situation. Obviously he could catch a touchdown, but so could any tight end. Who cares?
Yeah. I mentioned Traquan. Are you on Traquan at all? I mean, he's the guy who's, you know, the second receiver in terms of routes run, but Keith Kirkwood has kind of taken a place in this offense as well. I don't know. I know it's a great matchup. I just think the range of outcomes is somewhere between exactly 0 and exactly 18 points.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking as well. And I feel like at this point in the game, don't fuck around with that. I'm sure you can find a different. I feel like there's a safer floor. Like, I feel like I would play Zay Jones instead. I keep bringing him up because he's got a floor and the same ceiling. So just ride with something where you can at least like scrape out a game instead of just like getting fucking nothing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's correct. I would rather play Zay Jones than Traquan for sure this week. Bucks side of the ball. We've been talking about Jameis for a lot of the podcast, honestly, because he's relevant to me. But that being said, do you trust his targets in this game? I guess the Mike Evans, the Adam Humphreys, the Chris Godwin, and Cameron Brate.
I trust them all except Brate, except you kind of have to trust Brate because he's got targets that other tight ends don't have, even in a bad matchup against the Saints. But yeah, I trust pretty much everyone. Adam Humphreys has been great. So has Godwin too. They've both done their thing, and there's enough volume to go around in the Bucs offense where Jameis is just going to sling because that's exactly what he does. Since he's been back, he's been fucking great.
That was a... Yeah, he's been extremely great. The Godwin thing, this past week, I told my boss. My boss asked me about fantasy. He goes, do I play Traquan Smith or Chris Godwin this week? And I was like, definitely Chris Godwin. And Traquan had 0, and Chris Godwin had a huge game.
Yep.
And my boss fucking loved me this week. So all right there. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Brate's a guy who has a very low floor, and the Saints have been good against tight ends, but we know Jameis likes the tight ends in the red zone, so I don't think he's the worst start in the world. I'm certainly not sitting him for Ian Thomas. Yeah, other than that, you just kind of play all those guys.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
What about Peyton Barber?
No.
He's fallen in the end zone a lot.
Yeah, so have a couple people. Like, doesn't make you special. I'm not going to play Peyton Barber in a get into a playoff spot or I'm in the playoffs right now. I'm not going to play Peyton Barber. Like, yeah. The Saints are also great against like the running back. Like, of course he could fall into the end zone again, but what's his ceiling? Like 10 points.
Yeah. What you're hoping for with Peyton Barber is that a Saints defensive back commits pass interference on Mike Evans in the end zone. That's what you're hoping for, because that means it sets them up on the one and Peyton Barber gets that touchdown. That's it. The Saints are very, very good against the running back, as you said. Peyton Barber is not good against anyone. That's about all there is to say. Who you got in this one?
Saints get their revenge from week one and I believe clinch a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm on the Saints as well. So that'll do it. That's going to wrap it up. Guys, make sure you, or please, please make sure you come back for part two, part dose of the week 14 preview. You know, it'll be me and Vinny again. You'll be hitting your earphones, your ear holes, on Saturday morning rather than Friday morning. So make sure you keep an eye out for that. And thank you guys for listening to this one. Vinny, you got anything to leave the people with?
Nah, man. Good luck as usual. Don't try to stress. Just play your dudes. You know who you like. And basically just in my head, like, you got this far, like, fuck it, have some fun. Because it's so stressful throughout the year. Like, you know what position you're in now. You know what you need to do. Just go out there and do it.
Yeah, when lineups lock on Sunday in your playoff matchup, it's going to be hard, but you need to find a way of just finding complete inner peace. Being like, I have played my best lineup. This lineup is going to work.
I did that last week, as you know, in our league. And I was just like, I'm literally playing the best lineup I can.
And you put up
67 points and got absolutely fisted by like 100. I was just like, so around like, I found inner peace at 101. And then by like 145, I was ready to kill myself.
So I guess keep that in mind as you find inner peace at 101 on this Sunday. But yeah, we'll be back for part two. Make sure you're checking that out, guys. For Let's Talk Fantasy Football, for Vinny, I am Walsh. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.